was going to say they are promises, but probably it's more accurate to say they is promises. Because it's really based on one, isn't it? There's only one word. We know the word was flesh, right? The word became flesh, and that's Jesus. We're looking at John chapter 6, verses 16 through 29. I was thinking that if I was going to do a mission service, it would be this scripture. And that it is a Faith Promise weekend, I'm excited to tell you that God was ahead of us. It was already what was scheduled to preach, that we get to find out what God wants us to do. Does that make sense? Sort of what Faith Promise is all about. And I need to tell you that the Faith Promise is different than a pledge. We are not pledging to do something. God is making a promise that he wants us to fulfill. Does that make sense? That's why we call it Faith Promise. And that's why we want it to be anonymous. I don't need your name on there. Just do what God asks you to do. It can be a one-time gift, a daily, weekly, monthly, however that would work out. And those finances are used to help spread the gospel around the world. That money goes to World Evangelism Fund. There is $1,000 of that we're going to use to take a work and witness trip to do some hands-on blessing people. So that's wrapped up in that amount, okay? So I wanted you to know where that was coming from. And the numbers just kept coming. 7, 7, 7. It was really pretty easy to figure. Next year we'll add one more 7. On one end or the other. You'll get that later, right? Oh, you already got it now. I heard you. John chapter 6, verse 16. What page is that on in the Pew Bible? 563. Thank you. Is there a fee for telling us what that number is or anything? God bless you. Verse 16. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. It was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread, and after the Lord had given thanks, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Father, would you bless this, the reading of your word, and the ears that will be listening, and the voice of heaven that will speak through this clay vessel. May we resonate your truth to bless these lives in Jesus' name. Amen. There are moments in your life when the uneventful routine quickly changes. Would you agree with that? One phone call, one knock on the door, one note You might want to take notes and write this message down, that Christ is the hope and the helper of the church. You need to remember that he is your helper in day of trouble, and he knows you're going to call on him, and he expects you to call early and loud and long if necessary for your benefit, not his. He has not gotten harder to hear or harder in hearing than as he got older. He can hear very, very well. Anybody can be in charge of eating a picnic lunch when you have more food than what you need. Isn't that right? Because the people will eventually figure out a way to get the food if they're hungry enough. You don't even have to distribute much. But what happens when life happens and storms arrive unannounced? You don't even have that Doppler weather or that Doppler radar to look at. There's no place for your personal life to go touch a button and go to the right channel to see what's coming down the road so you can be ready about Wednesday. But I'm telling you, you can be prepared by getting near to Christ. He's prepared for this day each day, even when trouble comes knocking on the door like this event. Well, go one more. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. Across the heavy waves in the midst of lightning, just when you think it couldn't get worse for the disciples, they're looking out the flashes of lightning, and there he was. Jesus walking on the water. But they didn't know who he was. We know. We read the story. They didn't know. They were there in real time. And they were already in real trouble. And now they got one more thing bigger than that to deal with. As bad as the storm was, here's somebody walking in it. Aren't you glad God can walk right through your problems to get to you to help? Aren't you glad the problems don't separate you from God? Does that help you to know that? That there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. We understand the long night and the great storm didn't keep Jesus away. Right when the miserable night got frightening, when the disciples were thoroughly terrified, Jesus showed up. I am glad for his arrival. So what if we would use the winds and the waves to play the part of the world's opposition to our spiritual assignment? Winds are coming, aren't they? Winds of change are blowing, aren't they? Some people think big waves are coming, trying to warn us from every side, aren't they? Whoa, if you were ever afraid, you might want to be afraid today. That's not my message. My message is Jesus is our helper in times of storm. He walks through storms. It's an amazing event, even when you've been dealing with it for a while. They had rowed about 3 or 4 miles. I'm not real active. And when I'm rowing, I like to go with the current down the river. Because you're moving whether you want to row or not. I've done 3 canoe trips, and they've all been on the Allegheny River. And we've all went downstream. Amen. And you can row, and when you row, you go faster. These guys weren't rowing with the wind, they're rowing against the wind. And they already made 3 or 4 miles. These guys were pretty good at what they're doing. Would you agree with that? They were working together. They got 3 or 4 miles in a storm. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus has a different way to deal with problems than you do. You need to know that, don't you? You need to row hard if you can and keep rowing till he shows up. But his way is not going to be your way when he shows up. But I need to tell you that the rowing will do you good. Because rowing is an exercise of faith, isn't it? Because you're using what you got when you got it. Does that make sense? Jesus, till you get here, I'm going to do the best I can with what you've given me, because even what I got, you gave me. So they found the oars in the boat. You know what they were doing with them. They were rowing. And they did their best. But they only made 3 to 4 miles. As soon as Jesus showed up, this story tells us they made it immediately to where they were going. Hey, that's a good report. Jesus is where we're going. I don't have anywhere else to go, do you? I don't have anything better to do. There is no better news to tell you that Jesus is going to help us. And if you're going to list all the world powers, I don't care if you put people's names there, I don't care if you put countries' names there, whatever world powers tell you. I remember in world history, a world power, right? China, Russia, the big five, or the big seven, or the big nine. It's kind of fluid, so you don't know how many big ones there are. Anyhow, it's all right. But whatever the world powers are, would you do me a favor? Whatever your list of world powers are, whenever you begin to list world powers, put Jesus' name on that same list. See what happens to your list. Put anything down there you want as a world power, and then you got to put Jesus' name somewhere. I recommend you put it right at the top. Leave a little room at the top. Or just throw that list away and write a list of one. World power? Already taken. That job has already been filled. There's no more vacancy for world power. That changes everything, doesn't it? It just helps us to keep the proper perspective about what's going on. There's no other way for us to understand that when Jesus comes, he can say to you, "It is I. Don't be afraid." How many times do you need to hear that this day? How many times you're going to need to hear that this week? This is what we need to remember in every storm. With Jesus, we are exactly where we need to be. Storm or no storm, Jesus comes to calm us in the middle of the storm. Do you like that? He might not affect the storm, but he's there. It makes a difference. His presence changes us. The storms have little effect upon people who are prepared. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that voice rowing through the storms of life. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Aren't you glad I show up to your house not afraid of what you're going to tell me? Wouldn't that be a miserable way to pastor you if I show up and you tell me what's going on and I go, "Oh, not that." No, not that. Not the refrigerator. Don't tell me I need a new door. Aren't you glad we don't have to be afraid? Doesn't that change everything? It alters what's going on. It is so helpful to know that in the fiercest storm of this day, no matter how big the assault is upon the church, Jesus is coming to help us. We might be rowing, and that might not look like a big deal to anybody but us. But really, we're just exercising till the real work shows up. Aren't we? Exercising our faith in this storm, in this trial. Take courage, weary traveler. Safe passage is not just a name on our boat. It actually means we're getting through, because it's Jesus' boat. Safe passage is what happens because Jesus is with us. This ship was made to weather storms. There are always going to be faint-hearted and fearful passengers, but you're there to tell them, "Don't worry." And the rest of that's not be happy, but don't be afraid. Jesus is blessing us. He's helping us. Tell them of your experience. Demonstrate your faith. And when the Lord cannot be seen in your boat, his hand is on it. Does that help you? Even when you don't see him in the boat, he's still holding on to it because it's his boat. He's not going to let go. Don't be afraid, the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid in the manner in which the Lord appears. He might show up as a Holy Ghost. But it's still his presence that we need, isn't it? Don't be afraid of his coming. His arrival is still joy. It's still blessing. And don't be afraid, because there is a journey to heaven, and that journey is really very short. I'm not going to point out who's the oldest person in the room, but ask them. Life didn't take very long to get here, did it? It doesn't take long to get to where we are. But I'm here to remind you, we can hear Jesus say, "It is I, don't be afraid." You need to hear that sound above the loudest peal of thunder. Those who proclaim the end of the church never met its author. We are not in trouble. Hey, the disciples weren't in trouble. The storm was in trouble. And Jesus came to deal with it. The storm was disrupted because Jesus showed up. Boy, that was such a good storm, wasn't it? Yeah, and then Jesus showed up and the whole thing went away. That's how we ought to be looking. We're the church, aren't we? Can't you be like David looking at Goliath going, "You're in trouble now"? Different perspective from the church, isn't it? It's not because I'm at the pulpit. It's because we're in the boat. You messed with the wrong boat, you big, ugly, snarling storm. If it wasn't for Jesus, I would be afraid of you. But because Jesus is here, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to pray and watch. There's a story they tell about a preacher who was on a boat coming across the North Atlantic, and they were coming through the hurricane season. And as it's the hurricane, they got caught in the hurricane. This was before they had all them satellites, and the ship just kind of got caught. And they're like, "Oh, where'd that hurricane come from?" We know it came from a long way away, and they just kind of intercepted it, didn't they? But they were in trouble. They found out there was a preacher on board, a missionary was there, and so they said, "Would you pray?" They were a little bit discouraged. He didn't pray real long. He didn't pray real loud. But they were real glad his prayer was answered. This is about what he prayed. "Thou framer of the light and dark, guide through the tempest thine own ark. Amid the howling wintry sea, we are in port if we have thee." So they were safer in this storm than they would be if they were parked in a port somewhere. Does that help you? We need to understand where the ark of safety is. It is in the hand of Christ. So when they found him on the other side, John 6:25, when they found him on the other side, they said, "Rabbi, when did you come here? When did Jesus show up at your problem?" Been there the whole time. Seen it coming, headed you off. Don't you like that? Don't you like that perspective of Christ, that he's so far ahead of you, you think he was lost? But he knows where you are. He knows how to show up. He's in us. We don't have to watch for his motorcade with flashing lights coming. We don't have to listen for the holy helicopter to come around and the lights to come from heaven. We have a 911 holy monitor in our heart. It's better than that little button you can push. "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." He's there before you fall. He says, "Hang on before you go down." And if you're going down, make sure it's on your knees and talk to me the whole time you're there. Does this help at all? Am I the only one getting wound up this morning? Or is your blesser working? Somebody check your blesser. I think this ought to be working right about now. He not only monitors what we're thinking, he monitors every heartbeat every breath you take. And he knows when you're starting to get a little anxious before you do. So Jesus said, I'm telling you why you're here. You're here because you ate some bread and you were amazed by what I did. It wasn't magic. I just blessed the bread. We fed you all. The worldview is always about material things. They take a look at you and they're like, ooh, you're blessed. And then they'll put something there that they can see. This is why you're blessed. I am blessed because of what's in my heart. I am blessed because what you cannot see, what I have was given to me. I was blessed. You can take it all. You got some more. Take it all. I'm still blessed. Because it is Christ who dwells within me. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things only choke the word. They give you more things to do than spend time with the most important person you could ever spend time with. Praying and reading and following Christ will allow you to row for hours in the middle of a storm. Say, okay, I'm okay. I'm okay. Glorious thought. So what are we doing? Make sure you don't labor for things that don't endure. Don't work for the stuff that passes away. Food which endures forever. That's what we're looking for. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because the Father has set his seal on him. We are encouraged to work for more than take-home pay. Even though when the take-home pay ain't worth taking home, right? But that's not what we're working for, is it? We're working for the one who blesses us. Christ will bless you in the journey of life. We work for Christ, and he is preparing a place for us. Our first concern is not of this world. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else is given to us. The spiritual life comes first. Christ is the treasure of heaven. That makes Christ the greatest treasure we can have on earth. Take the world, just give me Jesus. As a matter of fact, the world can't take Jesus because the world didn't give Jesus. So the people began to ask him, Lord, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? What do we have to do to live? Maybe in some sense they were asking correctly, how can we do something that only God can do? But Jesus gave him the correct answer, and he's answering us today. This is the work of God. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. You see, your work is a work of faith, isn't it? I'm here to tell you, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus in the worst circumstance of my day. I believe in Jesus on the worst day of my existence. I still believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I believe that if we live and will, then we can accomplish the will of God, which is to believe Jesus is the Christ. Which allows us to endure this day. Nothing is more powerful than to say to a sinner, I am Jesus whom you persecuted. How powerful is that? Knocked Paul right off his high horse, didn't it? Or his low horse, I wasn't sure. Maybe it was just a Welsh pony or something. I'm not sure how big his horse was. Not sure. All I know is it knocked him to the ground. But nothing is more comforting to the saints than to hear this, I am Jesus whom you love. Or, do not be afraid, it is I. Don't you need to hear that in a storm? Some people are listening to the thunder, aren't they? Whoa, that was a big one. What I hear more often than not is, do not be afraid. Otherwise, I can't walk into hospital rooms. I can't walk into nursing homes. I can't walk into funeral parlors, can I? It is I. Do not be afraid. Death does not have the final word, does it? To exercise our faith in Christ is the most important and maybe the most difficult part for us, because we got to exercise it. And it's just like lifting weights. It's just like physical exercise. It's all you can do. But aren't you glad when you've done all you can do, that's when he'll make himself known. Appears different ways every time. And it's by grace. You ready for this? It's by grace we are able to live a life of faith. It's not because of what we do. And some people are saying, what do I need to do? Believe in Jesus. Just believe in Jesus. That'll keep you busy, won't it? I believe in the Christ, who is the Son of God. And part of our faith is giving. And part of giving is planning. And part of planning is planning to give. Does that make sense? So that's why we talk about this on Faith Promise. It's not about how much food's in our cupboard, how many baskets are full, how big the storm is. It's we're following Jesus, and we know he is the treasure of heaven, and we are able to contribute into that kingdom by faithful giving. You're here, that's faithful living, isn't it? We receive an offering. Aren't you glad I don't come around and check out your wallet and take what we need? A friend of mine once said, what you need to do, it's time for offering. Everybody stand, reach up in the pew in front of you and grab the wallet and purse and sit in there and give all you can. He said, maybe that's not giving at all, though, is it? But it's knowing whose it is, that what we possess and what we hold. It's his, isn't it? So that's why we once a year sit down and look at this event. How do we give faithfully to the one who is faithfully giving so much to us? And it should change our whole life, shouldn't it? It should change our entire budget, should change our entire year, and it does. Yeah, and then you'll learn a little bit about God's economy, won't you? Okay, let me pray for you. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together on this weekend. Thank you for letting Jonathan share his story about your faithfulness, not just here, but across the world. Thank you for letting him experience what planned giving can do. It could create a college campus in the middle of darkest Africa at the edge of the slums. What an amazing thought. That out of nothing you created the heavens and the earth, and out of what is left you are able to create good things. So help us as we examine this day what you would have us to do, and may we give cheerfully, knowing we give as unto the Lord. And we're not just planning to give today, we want to plan to give every day for your honor and glory. Before I say the final amen, is there someone I could pray for? Anyone, just raise your hand. I might be praying for you. God bless you. I see those hands. As we say this final benediction and this blessing, if you need, would like to, if you join me at the altar, we will pray together before you go so that you don't have to go home the same way you showed up. That make sure Jesus is in your boat, because the storms are coming. Lord, thank you for meeting us here this day, this hour, in this way. Thanks for revealing yourself to us in this room, just like you did to those disciples in that storm, in that boat. Deliver us, just like you taught us to pray, deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.